Pastor Lake, I appreciated your message there, and you referencing, you know, needing the younger generation, needing the children, teaching them to the Word of God, and being a father to two kids, it's actually quite terrifying sometimes, and then it's very exciting sometimes because I get to have these conversations with my daughter. She's starting to get to that point where she's asking questions, and sometimes even in the car as we're just driving into, you know, again, it's a blessing to work in the ministry, to be at a church where I get to bring my daughter with me to work, and she goes to the preschool, and I don't have to worry about what they're teaching her. I know she's getting taught the Word of God, and they love her, and she loves them. But I still get to have those conversations in the car with my daughter, and she asks these questions. She'll ask things about heaven. You know, she'll ask things about certain people that she just heard about in the Bible. And I told her one time, I said, we were talking about Grandma Lily, who's in heaven, and she often will reference that and say, you know, I miss Grandma Lily. I'd like to see her again. And I said, we all miss Grandma Lily, and we will see her again when we go to heaven. I said, hey, you know who else is in heaven? And she said, who? And I said, do you remember Adam and Eve? You guys learned about Adam and Eve and Iwana? They're in heaven? I said, they're absolutely in heaven. And then she says, for real? Like that. I said, for real? And then, you know, we talk about a couple of other things. And I kind of get, when I know those conversations are coming, I get a little bit nervous because I want to make sure she understands what I'm going to say and how I'm going to respond to these things. And I feel very responsible, you know, for what conversation's about ready to be had. But then it's very exciting. Like, she's asking these questions, and I know that with continual teaching and continual being exposed to the Word of God and the preaching and the Awana, stuff like that, she's going to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. I believe it with my heart. And so I'm excited for when that time comes. But I have to say that we, as you said, Pastor Lake, we need you. You know, we as youth pastors and co-pastors and teenagers, and I know Ethan was in here just a little bit ago, Ethan Bonnet, I saw him. We need you. I know that for me, I have appreciated our fellowship and the pastors that have been here for a long time that you know, you think about, like, as you said, Brother Lake, all the technology that's changed and things like that. And instead of being able to text and Facebook message and email and things like that, it was knocking on the door, making phone calls. And Pastor Taylor will often tease, I know it's old fashioned, but you can pick up the phone and call somebody. Oh, well, yeah, I guess I can do that, can't I? But we need you. And I have appreciated being able to learn from you, being able to see, observe, and take in how you pastor, how you encourage your people, how you have encouraged us as younger generation. And this kind of ties into a little bit to that, the message for today. And I just want to read one verse in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 12. And then we're going to go jump back to Daniel chapter 1. And this ties into that, Brother Lake, that Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 12, it said that for as much as an excellent spirit, for as much as an excellent spirit was in Daniel. Not only an excellent spirit, but knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Now you know the story. You know what he is being involved here. But that phrase, the excellent spirit, I just want to kind of talk about that a little bit today and have us think about a few things. And I have to say, though, that the excellent spirit we have seen through you preachers. We have seen, us younger generation, we have seen through you preachers and have been able to learn and gain that. And so I just want to go back and kind of look at Daniel chapter 1. So we're going to think about this, though, that excellent spirit. And then go with me back to Daniel chapter 1. And let's ask the Lord's blessing on our continued afternoon messages. Father, we thank you for this day that we have to be here together. I thank you for all the pastors who are here. And Lord, truly, they have been an encouragement to me. They have challenged me. They have taught me, instructed, guided, and prayed for me and for us, Lord. And I pray that you would encourage us this afternoon as we think about having an excellent spirit. Lord, I pray that you would guide my thoughts, guide my words. I pray that I'd be that vessel that you would have me to be today, and that the message that is brought forth would be through the Holy Spirit and through your power. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 1, at the very first verse there. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding and science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And then now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So we see here that, you know the story, the king Nebuchadnezzar comes and he besieges Jerusalem. And they take the princes and those of Judah who would be able to be taught to be brought before the king, and it says that they are going to give them the king's appointed a daily provision for 3 years, the meat that he ate and the wine that he drank. And really, in this first chapter, we read in chapter 5 and verse 12, the excellent spirit, but I wanted to go back to chapter 1 and look at how is Daniel described at the beginning of the book of Daniel, that we might learn how he had and obtained his excellent spirit. But if you go with me back to verse 4, it says, there was children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding in science, and had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The other day, Hannah and I were talking about, getting older, and we were talking about, some older people that, it seems like sometimes there are some of these older people, if you will, that when they hit a certain age, it's kind of like they just don't really care about what they say anymore. You know, if that's going to offend you or if it's going to hurt your feelings, you know, they don't really, you'll get over it, you know, and then us, we're like, yeah, it doesn't really hurt my feelings because you're old and no, not really, but you know, I mean, but, you know, there's kind of that point where all of a sudden they hit that and they just don't really care. And I asked Hannah, I said, do you think that when I get old, I'm going to be, you know, cantankerous, you know, or difficult? Well, I don't know, maybe. And I said, because I don't really have that kind of personality. You know, I'm very easygoing and I like to get along and have fun with people. But do you think I would get like that? And she says, well, even if you do, nobody's going to care. I said, well, I don't know about that. But I was thinking about that and I was thinking, well, why is it that, you know, that sometimes they kind of get to that point and then even to the other extreme where, you know, you have some of these older men who are just really flirtatious with, you know, women and stuff like that. And you think, you know, and they just kind of laugh it off because it's kind of funny almost to them. And you're thinking, well, but that's not okay, right? But for someone who's a little bit older, you know, is it really? Anyways, so we're looking at and we're thinking about having an excellent spirit. And I thought about, it doesn't matter for us, you know, whether we're in the first year of ministry or whether we're in the 50th year of ministry, 30th year of ministry, we should be striving to have an excellent spirit. You know, for us, do we get to that point where we can say whatever we want and, you know, and then all of a sudden it doesn't matter because we've hit a certain time period in our ministry? I think not. And I thought about this, having an excellent spirit, and I wanted to look at Daniel, and I was thinking about it, you know, through the night this week, a couple of nights, you know, thinking about having an excellent spirit, and you know, as Pastor Lake said at the very beginning of his message, you know, this, he said with his message, I'm sure you guys have preached out of that chapter, and with this, the same thing, but I thought, well, for me, I would like to look at this for myself by having an excellent spirit. And so I want you to come back to verse number 6. It says, now, among these, we see the requirements in verse number 4. They're looking for children who have these things in them. The no blemish, well-favored, skillful in wisdom, coming in knowledge, understanding of science, ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And then you go to verse 6 and it says, now there were 4 children of Judah, Daniel. And I wrote down what Daniel, the name means. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah's name meant that the Lord has been gracious to me. Mishael's name means that he who comes from God. And then Azariah's name means the Lord is my helper. But we see in verse number 7, that they changed their names, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs in verse 7 gave names for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. Well, Belteshazzar means the treasurer of Bel or Baal. They gave unto the name of Hananiah of Shadrach. Shadrach means the inspiration of the sun. Mishael, they gave the name of Meshach, which means he who belongs to the goddess of Shishak, or the goddess, rather, Shishak. Azariah, they gave the name of Abednego. And for him, that name meant the servant of Nego, other gods. But when we read about these 4 individuals in the book of Daniel, we always find them listed by their names that were given to them before. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then if you look at verse number 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Go back, if you would, to verse number 5. It said that the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them how long? 3 years. That at the end thereof, they might stand before the king. Well, I looked into that verse. What did that mean? Like, what does that mean, the significance of the 3 years? And what did all of that mean? And these particular children, you know, and actually at this point, I looked into how old was Daniel at this time. It says that he was about 15 years old at this time when he was taken into captivity. And he's a teenager. There are teenagers in our youth groups 15 years old that I'm looking at, and I'm thinking there is no way those 15-year-olds would even, you know, show any kind of ability to be cunning and wisdom and understanding and things like that. But for Daniel, he was. And I thought about that. Man, he was a teenager, and these are the kinds of things. And in verse 8, it says he purposed in his heart, that he determined in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. So for 3 years, the king would give them the meat that came from his table and the wine that he drank, basically to really keep them really well fed. Well, there was a problem here, because a lot of the times, and I wrote down some things that I had read as I was looking into this, Daniel determined or resolved in his heart not to defile himself. Because a lot of times this particular meat was offered unto sacrifices or to idols. Or another person wrote that a lot of the times it was from unclean beasts that the meat had come from, or that it just hadn't properly been prepared. And Daniel, as a 15-year-old, knew this. And so he purposed in his heart. He wasn't going to defile himself. And so we see that an excellent spirit, you see, begins with a purposeful heart. Well, I'm going to purpose in my heart that I will have an excellent spirit. I'm going to determine from the point that I wake up that I'm going to have an excellent spirit, no matter what may come my way. I try to encourage teenagers all the time. I try to tell them, you know, Lipton, you have to, as soon as you wake up, you have to realize, you have to know that your battle is going to come first thing in the morning. As soon as you open your eyes and you wake and you rub that sleep out of your eyes, your battle is going to come right smack into your face. And you have to determine the very first thing when you wake up in the morning, I am not going to give in to this. It's the same thing where we have to determine, I'm going to have an excellent spirit, because it may not come easy for us. It may be difficult. We might like to be cantankerous, right? I mean, there might be some of us that really kind of like to be a little bit just, you know, jabby here and there, and, you know, and just a little bit confrontational, and or maybe not, but whether or not it's easy or not, we have to determine and purpose in our heart that we're going to have an excellent spirit. And so Daniel purposes in his heart, and I looked into the three-year period where it says that they might stand before the king. And when I looked into that, they said that was the sufficient time for someone who was really well-educated to learn the Chaldean language, to be able to be taught and learn that. So then they could therefore appropriately stand in the king's presence and be able to converse with him, or if he asked them questions, to be able to answer them questions, etc. And so it was a three-year period that this was going to happen, where they were kind of in their, you know, transitioning period time. And so for 3 years, Daniel purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. Look with me at verse number 9. It says, "Now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." You see, I looked at this and thought an excellent spirit means that we sometimes, by prayer through the Lord, we are brought into good relationships with those who are not churchgoers, right? When you are, you know, out in the community talking, it is very wise and very important to have a friendly relationship with those people. You want to be able to walk through the streets and for them to be able to say, hey, pastor, how are you? You know, and even though they don't go to your church. And so it looks to me like it says here in verse number 9 that God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. In verse 10, it says, "And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." You see, the prince of the eunuchs, well, he's thinking about his own head, correct? He knows that he's in charge of all of these princes, of all of these young men who are going to be going through this three-year period of time, that when it comes time to stand before the king, if they look like they're about ready, that they're like on death row, he's going to be responsible for the care that was given to those people. And he's thinking, I can't present you before the king looking like you're ill or about ready to be on death's row. You need to eat the meat. Because remember, Daniel told him, I'm not going to eat this. This is against my religion, and I'm not going to eat this. I've purposed in my heart not to do this. And so that was honored by this man. But he says, well, I still have my job I have to do. I have to present you to the king. And if you're not looking well or healthy, it's off with my head. So would you please just do something here, right? Can you please just eat this? But look at this for just a second. I have to think, though, because remember verse 9, it says that God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And then the prince of the eunuchs shows compassion upon this man, upon Daniel, who is probably not a believer. But yet he has compassion for Daniel. And why? Because Daniel had an excellent spirit. And so he looks at Daniel and he says, listen, not I do care about myself. I have a job to do, and I don't want to lose my head, but I also care about you. I care about you, and I want you to be well taken care of. So what's Daniel's response? And remember, Daniel's only 15. He's a teenager. I mean, easily he could have just kicked the kid to the curb and been like, you're just a teenager. I can find another teenager, right? I can find someone else. But what's Daniel's response here? Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay, prove. Now look at this. Prove thy servants. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. I emphasize the thy servants because, you see, Daniel, as a 15-year-old, has been taken into captivity, and he is now a servant to his Lord still, but also to who has been put in authority over him. And he says, I am your servant. Test me, try me, prove me. You see, and many of you were at the ordination service last month, and it was talked about that we are servants. We as pastors and as preachers of the word and ministers of the gospel, we are servants. And we serve even the most uncomely kind of people, even the ones that are difficult to serve, especially those teenagers whose feet really stink and they haven't bathed in like a week, you know? And they take their socks off. They haven't even changed their socks in like a week. You know, there's like sand and dirt falling out of their socks as they're taking it off, you know, and it's like wedged between their toes. And they come over to my house and all the shoes come off. I tell them, when you come in my house, take your shoes off, please, at the door. You know, I have wooden floors and I don't want to dirty them up too bad. But when you go over to where all the shoes are kicked off and all the coats are, it's like, poof, whoa, it's like Toe Jam City right there. It's so bad. You just want to put them all outside, and I would if it weren't snowing and raining, and although maybe that might not be a bad thing, but even those uncomely ones, we are servants too. And Daniel says, I am thy servant, and test me, try me, prove me, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And I looked at what pulse was, and it was interesting that there was this conversation happening this afternoon at lunchtime about changing of diets and things like that. And so Josh, it looks like pulse was seeds or grain, barley, rye, and peas. You know, so I mean, hey, there you go, man, if that's something you're into that kind of thing. But and so he says, just give us the pulse to eat. And let's see, and let's just see after 10 days how it goes. Now, my son is about, somebody asked me, how old is he right now? I don't know, he's over a year old. I can't think of what month it's in. It's like 14 or maybe it's 16 or 17 months. He could be 2 for all I know. But he's at least over 1. And a few weeks ago, he had the flu. And, you know, as a little guy having the flu, like that's, you know, you really feel, you know, you really, as a father, you would rather take it from them, right? And he's a little guy anyways. And so he didn't want to eat anything. His appetite was just not there. He didn't want to eat anything. And like I said, and he's already small. And so he went to his doctor's well child check just the other day. And, you know, they have this whole growth chart thing. Right. And they show you the curve. That's what they call it. This is the curve, and the curve needs to continue to be on this, you know, this nice curve thing. Well, for him, they could tell that once he had the flu, it like this, you know, and he went down because he lost some weight. And, you know, he's already a little guy and, you know, you can see his ribs and all that kind of stuff. And you could anyways before. So I didn't really think anything had changed. But, you know, he, you know, lost a couple pounds. And for a little 14-month-old, that's really not that very good of a thing. And so my concern for him is very much, I would think, like this man's concern for Daniel. I don't want you to be skin and bones. So Daniel says, okay, prove me, try me, give us pulse to eat. Verse 13, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. And you know what's interesting is that when the prince of the eunuch was talking to Daniel, he says, why don't you eat this stuff? Let's go back and look at this. Go back with me to just verse number 10. The prince of the eunuch said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort. So that means there are more of these children from Judah that have not, what's it say in verse number 8? They have not purposed in their heart to defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat. He says, there are other people of your sort that have chosen to go ahead and go through with this, but you have not. And so Daniel says, verse 13, look on our countenances after all of this, after the 10 days before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, then deal with thy servants. So after 10 days, look on our countenance, and then you can determine what to do with us after that. And remember, this is a 15-year-old boy. 15-year-old boy who's having this intelligent, wisdom-filled conversation with an excellent spirit to this man. And so we look at verse number 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. For how long of a period of time? At the beginning of the chapter, it says that they were to go through this trial period for 3 years. So for 3 years, they have purposed in their heart to not defile themselves with the portion of the king's meat or the wine that he would drink, but rather eat the pulse. What was that? Seeds, grain, barley, wheat, rye, and peas, and water for 3 years. And their countenances appeared fatter and fairer in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So when Daniel was 15, he is taken into captivity. And at 15 years old, he already has an excellent spirit. And we can see that because he purposed in his heart that he was going to have an excellent spirit and not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. But you know what's interesting about this is Daniel wasn't alone. He had 3 other friends with him to do this, to go through this with together. You know, and I thought about that. And I thought about our fellowship. Having an excellent spirit within our fellowship, I can say 100% that I believe that our fellowship, we have pastors with excellent spirits. And you encourage me to have an excellent spirit. You guys who are my age or younger or whatever, like Aaron was just, we were just talking, like Aaron was in high school when I first came here. And you were in high school too, Aaron, weren't you, when I first came here? 10 years ago? 11 years ago? Well, it'll be 11 in... Yeah. You encourage me to have an excellent spirit. And I wanted to just look at this today and just encourage each other. Let's just keep going and having an excellent spirit. It's not always easy, right? I mean, sometimes we wake up and we don't want to do the day, right? Sometimes we wake up and say, I just don't want to do this day today. I know what's going to happen. I know what's coming. I just don't want to do this. But we still have to have that excellent spirit. We pray for it. God, help me today to have an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. A spirit that desires to excel. That's really what an excellent spirit is. A spirit desires to excel. Have I done my best? Can I do my best? And can I do my best today in what projects I have to do today? My daughter, Tessa, she's 4 years old. And she is very much a girly girl. She is really very much a girly girl. And so she loves to have her hair done. She loves to have her doll's hair done and all that kind of stuff. And so Hannah happened to leave, and Hannah's the one who does all the hair, right? And so Tessa had asked me to do her doll's hair the other day. And braid, she wanted a braid. She just wanted a pony. She wanted a braid, not a ponytail, a braid for her doll's hair. And I said, honey, I can't do that. That's what mommy does. I'm not very good at doing this, although I know how to braid hair, I'll confess. But I was like, I can't do this. And she says, oh, Daddy, just try, please. And I said, okay, fine, I'll try. And then she says, just do your best, Daddy. I thought, just do my best? Okay, I'll do my best on your doll's hair, right? And then the other day, it was just the next day before we went to school, before we loaded her up and went to school, she wanted me to put her hair in a ponytail, which is very easy. And she says, I know you're not good at this, Daddy, but just do your best. I said, okay, I'll do my best. But I desire to have an excellent spirit. And the encouragement that we receive through our fellowship challenges me and encourages me to continue on in that excellent spirit, because I see it in our fellowship and I see it in the pastors of our fellowship. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for the encouragement that you have brought to me and how I can learn from that. And just to kind of illustrate that just a little bit, my grandfather was the song leader at the church I grew up in before my dad was the song leader of the church that I grew up in. So it was my grandfather, and then it was my dad, and now I'm the song leader at Victory Baptist, obviously. But I saw my dad and I saw my grandfather lead the singing. I never saw my grandfather direct a choir, but my dad was the one who always directed the choir at the church that I grew up in. And as I transitioned into that position to direct the choir at Victory Baptist, I found myself just almost talking just like my dad when directing the choir. And why? Because that was what I saw. That was what I learned from. And as Pastor Lake was preaching about that just a little bit ago, that's all I could think of was that's what I saw from my dad when I was in that. And the way that he did those kinds of things, I often emulate the same. Now, I try to have my own style too, right? But I learned most of that from my father. And so I look at that and I think, and I was challenged by that to be even more purposeful on teaching my children. But coming back to this excellent spirit, we see that in our fellowship, and I appreciate that. And I just wanted to encourage you this afternoon to continue on having an excellent spirit. Father, we thank you for this afternoon together, and we thank you for our fellowship that we have, for the preachers that are here, for how they encourage us and pray for us. And Lord, I pray that we would just continue to be that group of people that we love each other, we pray for each other, we encourage each other, we can laugh, we can joke. And I pray, Lord, that we would just continue to be those people that bring excellent spirits to the fellowship, but not only our fellowship, but to our churches. Father, I pray that you'd be with these pastors in here as they stand up Sunday morning in their pulpits and they preach, and that they deal with people and their difficulties and their struggles and their problems and their hardships and the crying and also the rejoicing. God, I pray that they would also be purposeful in having an excellent spirit, so that their spirit would desire to excel and the things that they do. And Lord, I pray that you would give them blessing and mercy. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.